Jim Berner is a disabled vet. He served from 1989 to 92. He was injured during combat training exercise, and this changed his life, eventually leading him to move up to the woods of northern Minnesota, and then to write a screenplay that has Hollywood movie producers interested in making. Jim Berner is joining us in the studio now. Jim, thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Did you ever think that you were going to write a screenplay?
I never did. I was always an interested writer and a creative writer, but in terms of actually sitting down and writing a screenplay from beginning to end, no, I didn't. I didn't think so.
How did it happen?
How did this occur?
Yeah.
Well, it started because I just basically faculty of boredom. I am, you know, you have so much idle time up here, and I was just kind of paying attention to some news items and things of that nature, and ran across one that kind of was on the periphery of this, and it just kind of got me thinking, and I thought, just the thing kind of snowballed, and it kind of started to, not write itself, but started to kind of take off on its own, and I bounced it off a couple people, and they encouraged me, so I just kept on doing it, and kept on, you know, fleshing it out, and finally, I sent it to a friend of mine who is an actor in Hollywood, and I said, what do you think of this? And I didn't really expect to hear anything, you know, back from him at all, much less favorative, you know, advice or whatever. And about 2 weeks later, he called me and he said, this is fantastic. This is just really good. You keep on going with this. And so that's kind of where the whole thing kind of took shape.
Do you have to see it to write it?
It is a visual process. I do think it is a visual process. And it's interesting that you bring that up, because I had this conversation with another writer, and he and I were talking about it, and he said that's why every children's book is visual, because that's how kids learn to read, is through with their eyes, you know, visually in terms of pictures. And they're very much connected. So yes, for me it is a very visual process.
So what was that story that got you interested in writing your story?
It was just a news item on kind of an art theft, and it didn't really go into a lot of detail, but it didn't have to, because I kind of picked it up, and it was about an art theft, and it was overseas, and I kind of brought the art theft home here, and had it happen to a couple of guys that came out of my head, and one of them, you know, you can't help but, when you're writing one of these things, you can't help but for a lot of it to be, I don't want to say autobiographical, but autobiographical. Mm-hmm. You can't help it. You know, you're sort of injecting a lot of facets of your personal life into these stories, and I know for this one, this was my first, and I'm already working on my fifth. So
whoa,
yeah. So I know for that one especially, it was very, very autobiographical for me.
How about rewrites? I mean, you know, Heidi writes, a lot of people write, and you go back and you look at it, and you go back and you look at it, and you make changes, mm-hmm, constantly. Is that a process that you do, and how does that work? Do you write for 2 days and go back and look at it, or how does that work out?
I do exactly that, because a lot of times when I'm writing something, I can't believe how great it sounds, and a couple of days later I go back and read it, and I think, oh, that is really bad. That is bad stuff, man. And it all goes in the trash, and we start over again. And that happens more often than not. But I'm in charge of those right now. And
will you change the story because you don't like it? I mean, I understand wording can be wrong, but can you just, like, see it in your mind and say, oh, I don't like the way that's going? Or
absolutely, yes. You know, if the story isn't lending itself to sort of the mood that I'm in, or the way I'm writing, or whatever I'm doing, and it doesn't seem to be sort of feeding its way down to the feeder pond, you know, I'll just scrap that part of the story and craft something else. I mean, that's what's great about being the author.
Are you thinking of the audience, or are you only thinking about what you like?
No, I'm thinking about myself. No, I'm just kidding. I'm thinking about all parties concerned. But, you know, the thing is, though, is that when you're an amateur writer, a creative writer, an amateur writer like this, it's really hard to shoot and miss. It's really hard to go wrong and come up with a plot that people aren't going to like. I mean, if you can conceive of it and get it on paper, and it's going to go through a couple, you know, editors, and in my case, you'll find out where it goes from me. But it's really hard to shoot and miss that target. You're going to find something that works.
We're talking with screenwriter Jim Berner today about the process of how he wrote his first screenplay. You sent it to a friend who's an actor in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Then what happened?
Well, prior to doing that, I'll give you the absolute genesis of this idea. I was watching public television, and there was a show called Mystery of a Masterpiece on there. And it was about a guy by the name of Martin Kemp. And he is a professor at Oxford in England, which is where I'm headed to in a few days. And a gentleman had bought a painting at auction in New York. And the auction house said it was a late 1800s reimagination of a you know, a much earlier work. And this guy looked at it and he thought, that looks really old to me. I'm going to buy it. So he pays $20,000 for this painting, sends it off to this guy, Professor Martin Kemp at Oxford. And it's a masterpiece. It's a Da Vinci. The Europeans call him Leonardo. They don't call him Leonardo. They don't call him Da Vinci. They call him Leonardo. So anyway, it turned out this thing is a Leonardo da Vinci. He paid $20,000 at auction for it. Turns out it's, you know, $200 million, $300 million painting. So, you know, it was just like the Bugs Bunny cartoons where the light bulb goes off. I thought, So, you know, my story kind of revolves. Can I?
Yeah.
Okay. My story kind of revolves around these two guys that are, kind of shady guy. They met each other in a recovery meeting, and they're not the most upstanding citizens, and they have a gallery together, and it's supposed to just kind of be average art, you know, that anybody could afford and anybody could buy. But one of them goes off to the Eastern Seaboard and buys some paintings out there and brings them back to the gallery. And when he gets back, his partner's waiting for him, and he kind of looks at some of these paintings and what's the story on this one? He says, I paid like $50,000 for it or whatever, and it's just, you know, mid 1800s, kind of the same thing that, you know. Yeah. And it turns out it's worth much more than that. So he figures out a way to get it out from underneath his partner before it becomes part of the auction, part of their gallery's, you know, auction, you know, paintings to go to auction, and or to auction to people, I should say. And he gets it out from under him, and sort of the mystery unfolds. And I'm telling you all this because I have a point. I called up this Martin Kemp at Oxford, and he said, "Oh, Jim, I can't believe you're calling me on this." And he said, "I think it's fantastic." He said, "Well, I'm just going to tell you that I swear that this is true." He said, "Ron Howard called me when he was doing the Da Vinci Code, and I told him no because, you know, that type of thing could never happen." And he said, "But go ahead, lay it on me." So I unfold this whole thing, and he goes, "I think it's fantastic. I'm in. Totally in. In fact, did you ever get out here?" And I said, "No, never been out there. Probably never will." And he said, "Figure out a way to get out here. You'd love it out here, and we'll spend a few days together. We'll go down to the Louvre. We'll get you into some museums. I'll show you some Rembrandts. It's a very visceral process when you're writing, I would imagine, and this will help." So That's where we are.
Wow. So you're headed to England. Where is the original screenplay at? Is it going to get made?
Well, I called up a friend of mine who's an actor in Los Angeles, and he said, why don't you come out to L.A.? I said, all right. So I went out to L.A., and we hung out together. His name is Peter Breitmeyer, and he's in all the progressive commercials with the ones, some of them with Flo in them, but some of them that she's not in, he's in with his buddy, and they... And then he's been in a lot of really good movies. I'm trying to think. Well, Fracture, he was in with Anthony Hopkins. The Changeling, he was in that with Clint Eastwood. But went out there, and he and I met with a screenwriter out there who I can't talk about yet, but he loved it. He loved it, loved it, loved it. And he said, get this as far as you can get it. And he said, we'll work on it together. We'll write it together as a screenplay. So he's all stoked about it. So... these other people being stoked in my work can't help but to get me stoked in my work. And it just sort of feeds on each other, I think.
Wow. So how do you do that? I know, I mean, part of your story, too, is when you came up to the woods, you were living without much.
Mm-hmm. I sure was. I didn't have plumbing. I didn't have, I didn't have plumbing for 3 years. 2.5 years, I didn't have plumbing. So I had, you know, I didn't have much. I had a little 12 by 20 foot bunkhouse, one room bunkhouse with, you know, a little twin size bed and a little kitchenette. And I had DirecTV. I had to have DirecTV. That was way more important than a shower. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then in the summertime, I am fortunate enough to live on a lake. So I was able to, you know, make use of the lake in the summertime for a bath. And in the winter, I melted snow and whatever I had to do. My mom and dad eventually moved in close by. So once in a while, I would go use their shower if I needed to.
So, well, you got to keep us informed of what the heck's going to be happening here.
I will do that. I will do that.
Yeah, so you're headed to England this weekend. So not only have some of these writers or some of these experts been interested in this, but you've figured out a way. You have friends, you have people who've heard about it who have helped you in your process through your GoFundMe page.
Yes. My family had a real hard time with this until they were really immersed in the GoFundMe counterculture, and once they really saw how legitimate of a process this is, they really didn't have any qualms about it. But if you go to GoFundMe.com and then slash and then my name, Jim, and then my last name is Boerner, you'll find my page on there. And if you want to support me, you can. If not, you don't have to. That's the nice thing about GoFundMe. It's, you know, it's voluntary.
That's right. Well, Jim will keep us posted. We'll find out the process and find out when this movie is going to be made. We're glad to hear your story today. We wish you the best in your travels.
Thank you, ma'am. Sir?
Yeah, it's almost a movie in a movie. The process is a movie.
Mm-hmm.
People have said that. You're not the first one. Yep. Good observation.